The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
All right, is Jalen Hurts going to play on Sunday? This is big for the Eagles. Got the concussion in the L to the Commanders. Now the Cowboys on deck. Might we getting Cooper Rush versus Kenny Pickett? Exactly how the NFL drew it up.
Kenny Pickett has rib problem too.
That's a huge problem. Welcome, yeah. Ian Book to the conversation then, as the Eagles have just re-signed the former Notre Dame quarterback to the old practice squad in preparation for potentially not having Jalen Hurts DNP in practice once again. Concussion stuff. We know how that goes. We know how that goes. You're usually missing a game. Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast.
I feel like this is something the league is very, very mindful of, and it doesn't allow, it's from an outside, you know, doctor. It's not like team gets to say, oh no, you're good to play, let's go.
Yeah, you got the independent doctor.
The independent doctor.
No skin in the game.
Yeah, so you need to kind of, you know, figure those things out. So I will, if he didn't practice today, I'm willing to say that he might not be playing this weekend.
I feel like that's where it's heading. Even the line has shifted. What do you think it started at when they were assuming that Hurts was going to play? Cowboys going too filthy. Guess that spread.
Was that was it 7.5?
That's what it is now.
Okay.
It was 9.5.
Okay.
Eagles were a 9.5-point favorite, home favorite versus the Cowboys, but now with the Jalen Hurts DNP practice status.
Yeah.
And the nature of it being a concussion and the Eagles bringing on Ian Book now, having a third quarterback on that roster,
right,
all of a sudden signs pointing to having no Jalen Hurts for the Eagles on Sunday versus the Cowboys. Yeah. So that's,
and here they are, and they've got to try. They need.
It would be so funny. As much as I want the Cowboys to lose, it would be phenomenal to play spoiler in some way to the seeding of.
Okay.
The Eagles.
Let me ask you
make
this,
life a little bit more difficult.
Let me ask you this question. And this came up on I'm on with Ambar Garcia, Derek Eagleton, Nick Harris.
The Cowboys Break.
Cowboys Break.
Cowboys.com.
And so the question was posed to us of CeeDee Lamb and his availability because of the shoulder. And we're hearing that, you know, Lamb cannot, you know, injure the shoulder any further. It's a matter of pain tolerance, playing through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ambar was to the point of like, listen, you almost have to take care of these players because they won't take care of themselves. You know, if she's thinking the rehab needs to start now. You know, you're not playing for anything. Why? But I want to know where you...
We are playing for fantasy Super Bowl championships.
Okay, that I understand. Well, I say I understand that. I just learned that.
No, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. It doesn't matter. If you're CeeDee Lamb, if you're the Cowboys, you're not factoring in the fact that my Chupacabras
are
one win away from unseating Sean Sharif this station's fantasy champion.
But you're in a situation where, okay, just say you're not playing for the fantasy championship.
Okay, I'll try to imagine a world where I'm a loser, Broadus. Certainly not reality.
And you're in a situation right now. Where do you feel about the CeeDee Lamb situation this next 2 weeks as far as him playing?
Yeah, I would be totally on board with shutting him down. He's done a great job. I love that he's performed the way he's performed through being banged up, being obviously one of the highest paid players on the team, being one of the faces of the franchise, and not cutting any corners with the way this thing has gone. Now, I don't think that if CeeDee Lamb wants to play and medically he's fine, like he's been fine, obviously he's banged up,
right?
But he's not, is it even fair to say that he's not injured? Because he's hurt. Yeah. It's an AC joint thing.
Yeah.
Pain tolerance. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm knowing from the doctors, like this isn't something that is getting worse by the week or anything like that,
right,
then I would just leave it up to CeeDee. Like, hey man.
Okay. I've had people, and this is interesting. I've had people tweet at me that like they understood the caution about, hey, sit him down, get him, you know, get him rehab, get a start on this, you know, help him get ready. If there needs to be a surgery, go ahead and get that scheduled and everything.
Oh, if there needs to be a surgery, then okay, let's do that.
But the discussion on my timeline has been about people saying it's the Eagles. He has to play.
Okay.
There's such a hatred for the Eagles that they're like, you know what? CeeDee has to play against these guys. Does that make sense? Or is that being really, really selfish?
It's a little,
as a fan,
it's a little short-sighted because big picture, his health going into next season is going to be of the utmost importance.
Right.
But he's proven over the last, 6 weeks or so?
Right.
That it's fine. He's playing every game. Yes, he's hurt, but an off season, it won't take long for him to be recovered from that. Now, if I know there's a surgery or something involved, then I would say forget all the stuff, the rivalry. I get it. You want to play spoiler to some extent with the Eagles. They're in the playoffs. It's not like you have a chance to bounce them out of the postseason.
Right.
This is just you're playing for pride and for some bragging rights. And again, I understand that. It is the Eagles. I know how important that is. And again, as much as I want the Cowboys to lose right now because they're out of postseason contention, I want the higher draft pick. I want McCarthy probably not to be here next year. The best way to do that is to lose. But the fact that it is the Eagles makes it a little bit more fun of the idea if they could go win and just make the Eagles suffer as a fan base and everything like that a little bit more.
Right.
So, but
I thought it was, because I just wonder with the fans, they're like, nah, I don't care about your health. I shouldn't say not care, but they're thinking like,
we want to beat the Eagles.
We want to beat the Eagles.
We need CeeDee to do it.
And we need CeeDee to do it.
And he's proven that he can do it. He's relatively fine. He's hurt. He's shown his toughness. There's no question about that. He's still playing at a high level.
Right.
It's all great.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with it. And if CeeDee Lamb wants to play, then I'm going to keep playing him.
Sure.
Because I respect what he's doing, showing everybody else in the locker room, I got paid, but I'm not just going to, out of the postseason.
But aren't we to the point there where CeeDee is, the contract is, he's been worth it? I mean, he's already proven that it was the right thing to do by the way he's playing. I mean, he doesn't need to prove toughness or anything.
No, he doesn't have to prove that anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. I love what he's done. If they decided that they wanted to put him on ice the rest of the way, I wouldn't really have a problem with it. Yeah. But it sounds like CeeDee Lamb is very passionate about playing.
He has a problem with it.
Yeah, he has a problem with it.
He has a problem with it.
And as long as medically he's not making it any worse, CeeDee, you want to play? Yeah. Go out there, man. Go out there and play. Let's do this thing. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. But, yeah, it looks like Jalen Hurts trending not to be playing this weekend for the big game. Now, we have elsewhere around the league, you know, if the Vikings win on Sunday, then
it sets up a week 18, eh?
It does. Just with the Vikings win, it doesn't matter what happens Monday night with the Lions playing the Niners.
Right.
It'll come down to an all the marbles game for the one seed for week 18, final week of the season, if the Vikings win versus the Packers on Sunday. So that means on Monday night, the Lions will know what the situation is. If the Vikings win,
they got to keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then they could hang them up. But then Man Campbell's like, no, we're playing this game.
Oh, no, they've proven that they'll keep playing.
Yeah, he's all about playing. We're not resting. We're not doing any of that. We play every game to win.
Yeah. I mean, if he finds a way to win the next two games, he knows that he has a bye. He's the number one seed. So he's going to keep playing. And I think even with it clinched, as injured and banged up as they are, that son of a gun's going to keep playing.
That's his mentality.
Because they had a chance. Remember when they knocked Green Bay out and they knew their playoff fate and they were eliminated in the last week and they went to Green Bay and they eliminated Green Bay as well? Man, that's what that team does.
Yeah, that's what they're built on.
That's what they're built. They're F these picks, F those injuries to them.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's their culture, and I don't think he's going to venture away from that at all.
No.
The Lions also added a familiar name to the roster today, Teddy Bridgewater, coming out of retirement and signing with the Lions.
Is he on the practice squad?
Yeah, I guess he'll be signing to the practice squad.
Yeah.
But they'll have now a little bit more veteran insurance there behind Jared Goff. And he just won Teddy Bridgewater.
State title.
He just won a high school state championship.
Miami.
First-year head coach. At his alma mater of Miami Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
What an awesome year. What a great storyline for a guy to be able to, in first year as a head coach, you go back to your alma mater, you win state, and now you're rejoining the NFL as a backup quarterback on the top seed in the NFC, basically. Mm-hmm. What a year for Teddy Bridgewater, man. Good for him.
Doing it well.
More love for Mike Vrabel around the coaching circles, yeah. And he's being connected to a bunch of teams here. And the stuff out of Vegas with the Raiders of just doing the player swap, coach swap for Pierce and Vrabel. And you know about the Vrabel-Brady connection, of course.
Sure.
And Brady's got plenty of say within that organization now as a minority owner of the Raiders.
They have done the New England thing without success, though. New England general manager guy, and they also did our
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels there.
And that was a disaster.
Yeah.
But Vrabel will be, him and Ben Johnson seem like the two hottest commodities there when it comes to this upcoming coaching cycle.
Does Ben Johnson price himself out of an opportunity?
I think there's a chance that could happen. Yeah,
and Vrabel's interested in getting back in the league, and he's not going to price himself out. And these owners, yeah, they're okay, but they don't want to pay this coach. They would rather pay Vrabel $5 million, $6 million to coach than pay $12 million to a guy that's never coached.
Yeah, I think that's a real thing.
Yeah,
because Ben Johnson, he draws lines in the sand. Like he doesn't feel like he needs any of these jobs. He's turned them down for the last two cycles. So I could see that potentially going down where a team's like, forget it. If I can get Vrabel for half the price or whatever,
yeah,
then maybe go ahead and do that thing. So we'll see. But the love for Vrabel is real for a bunch of teams right now.
There's absolutely for real.
You had the Bills offensive lineman doing the reverse Christmas present thing. It's always the quarterbacks getting the gifts. Now in Buffalo, might they have just jinxed their quarterback because they got him a lovely chain.
Yeah. Say pendant.
Yeah, it's a chain.
Yeah.
And it's his jersey, number 17, all diamond encrusted. But instead of saying Allen as the last name on the back of the jersey, it reads MVP.
All right.
And we just saw what Lamar Jackson did last night.
Sure.
And this is a for real conversation. Josh Allen has been leading when it comes to the odds for who's going to be the MVP, both having phenomenal seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar and Josh Allen, both playing really at the height of their powers. But it went from going into yesterday's Christmas game, you had Josh Allen as a heavy favorite, minus 500, and then it was Lamar Jackson was second at plus odds, plus 375.
Sure.
Now it is minus 225 is the favorite for Josh Allen and plus 180 for Lamar Jackson. So and Lamar just passed Michael Vick for the rushing yards from a quarterback standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a historical moment for him. And he's had, I mean, the numbers on this are totally crazy. And I think that one thing that doesn't get mentioned enough either is the impact that he has on Derrick Henry and the type of season that Derrick Henry's having. Obviously, a ton of credit to Derrick Henry and the offensive line, but the presence of Lamar Jackson makes the Ravens so difficult to defend? It's not like Derrick Henry in Tennessee where you just know that's the guy you got to stop on the ground. Lamar Jackson opened things up in a huge way for Derrick Henry. Last night, 48-yard touchdown run. He actually reached the highest top speed of his career on that run, 21.25 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. But he says he was just jogging on the play. Mm-hmm. He wasn't actually trying as hard as he possibly could there. But, I mean, right now, this is where it stands for Lamar Jackson. He needs 45 passing yards and 148 rushing yards, one passing touchdown, one rushing touchdown to have the first ever stat line for a season that's 4,000 passing yards, 1,000 rushing yards, 40 touchdowns, and five rushing touchdowns, 40 passing touchdowns, five rushing touchdowns. Like, that is crazy. What a stat line that would be. And how do you not give the MVP to a guy like that if that's the season that he's having? Like, his counting numbers are going to be better than what Josh Allen's are, even though Josh Allen, again, has had a phenomenal year.
Do you feel like, though, the lack of playoff success is now going to hurt him in voters, that every year we vote him the MVP and then he unfortunately doesn't have the success?
I don't know if it's that or if it's just the fact that
guy's a three-time MVP of the league and he has a record of like 1-5 or something, you know, something crazy like that.
You look
at the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame one day and they're going to talk about, man, he was electric. He did everything different. He was a once in a generation type player. Playoff record 2-8. You know, you always worry about that with him.
Yes, that'll be his legacy.
That's the one thing. Like, people will talk about like all the regular season success that he had, but then it turns into, what's his playoff record? Did he ever win a Super Bowl?
When you start going all time with careers and stacking them up, that will weigh heavily for him. But when it comes to the actual voting of the MVP,
it's a no brainer that way. It's a no brainer to vote for him because of all the things he does. He's one of the best players in the league, but playoff time, he's one of the worst.
Yes. And so he's going to have to overcome
health
that.
Health has been a problem with that sometimes.
Totally.
Yeah. But you're going to look at his resume one day, and if he doesn't have any playoff success, you're going to look at his resume and everybody's going to talk about what a great player he was, and then the next word out of someone's mouth is going to be, but the playoffs, he just couldn't get it done.
And it might be the Mahomes thing. Like, Michael Jordan just kept a bunch of championship worthy players from ever winning a title. And Mahomes might be that for Lamar, Josh Allen.
Good point.
Maybe to some extent Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow has beaten him and gone to a Super Bowl, just didn't win it, of course. But yeah, that'll be the legacy conversation. But I don't think the playoff stuff impacts the MVP voting as much as just the fact that he's been the MVP, you know, the voter fatigue stuff. We see it in every sport. Guys who still deserve to be the league MVP not getting it because somebody else had a really awesome season as well and they just want to give it to somebody else. That, to me, would impact like Josh Allen getting this year's MVP over Lamar Jackson more so than people just thinking, but his playoff record.
If Barkley breaks Eric Dickerson's record,
it'll be the perfect candidate for Offensive Player of the Year. It's not that I hate running back so much, but
that record,
Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson mean more to their teams without question, and they're having the production in the season with the stats to show.
Saquon Barkley hasn't meant more to his team.
No, Saquon Barkley hasn't meant more to his team than Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. There's no chance. I mean, Dick Fangio and the defense have meant more to their team than even Saquon Barkley has. And it's not to slight Saquon Barkley. He should be the offensive player of the year.
No, you're slighting him right now is what you're doing.
If I'm slighting him by giving him the offensive player of the year, then I guess
he's on the cusp of breaking a record that not many thought was going to be broken.
I get it.
Especially with the way running backs are this day and age.
Okay, we need to see. I'm sorry. I want to have this fight with you. I do.
No, I'm not going to fight you.
I want to have a day after Christmas fight, but we're not because we have breaking news right now. After we just had the CeeDee Lamb, should he play, should he not play conversation, bleeping my fantasy championship hopes, the Cowboys have gone ahead and listed him out for the remaining two games of the season. CeeDee Lamb, I just saw it from Nick Harris here.
Yep.
Had additional testing. CeeDee Lamb had additional testing on his shoulder this week, and he is now going to be out for the remaining two games of the season. So there it is, breaking news right here on the Fan. No more CeeDee Lamb. No Jalen Hurts. We might. This is maybe we can get Mingo involved. Maybe Mingo can get himself a catch.
Yeah, you put a 70 number on him. You surely can get him involved.
All right, there it is. NFL news of the day here in the G-Bag Nation. Let's go ahead and crank open a post-Christmas Day rim sesh next year in the nation. All right, the breaking news here over the last few minutes is that the Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb had additional testing on his shoulder this week and is going to be out for the remaining two games of the season. So the season is over for CeeDee Lamb. Cowboys play the Eagles coming up this week. Looks like Jalen Hurts is going to be missing that game as well. That
sounds
is how
like
it is trending. Mm-hmm. But additional testing on the shoulder, I do wonder. It's been an AC joint. Hasn't been so bad that he can't play, but I wonder if there's been more damage done. That would be a bummer.
Yeah, reached out to a couple of different people, and you know we got a few more hours left of to kind of figure this one out. But yeah, it's something that he's had to deal with, and you know I think when you look at it overall, it's like they say you can't hurt it. But in actuality, maybe the degree was hurting it. The degree how it was like he was playing,
and it was just getting a little bit worse.
Worse and worse compared to prior what happened to him. So every week he's like dealing with pain, and then okay, well you can't hurt it any worse. Well, to a degree you can, and then the next week he keeps playing, and then can't hurt any worse. Now it's hurt even worse. So he, by doing this, I think that the part of it with the, like I was saying, the degree part of it, of, you know, the pain he's having to deal with, and then the degree of how he was having to deal with that was becoming too much for him, each game that he went out there. To the degree of the injuries, I guess. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. All right, CeeDee Lamb going to be out for the rest of the season. We'll get more details on that as they come in here. We'll get to Krusty's Corner coming up here in just a few minutes. But right now, we cut the lights out. We put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer. G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. Rain dance! It's always a special occasion when we get a Mike Breen double bang call. The rare bang. That's what Steph Curry brought to the table late last night as the Lakers end up beating the Warriors. We'll play that sound here for you in just a moment. We got to start here locally with our Mavericks falling short after a valiant comeback, being down 28 points to the T-Wolves. They end up losing 105-99, and Luka Doncic goes down late in the second quarter, dealing with a calf strain, and it's super unfortunate. We all were met with a sad situation as it pertains to Luka and the Mavericks yesterday, and we were trying to fight through with the Christmas spirit. Hopefully, we won our individual battles with that, and we'll see if Luka can win his individual battle with this calf that's been bothering him. His left leg has been an issue dating back to last season a little bit. Then he goes on a huge finals run. Then he plays in the Olympics and the wear and tear there. The calf finally said, no, enough is enough. And now we wait. Is this going to be 4 weeks? Is this going to be 6 weeks? Are they going to try and get this thing to the All-Star break? I don't know. Of course, having a healthy Luka in the postseason is what matters the most. And good thing for the Mavs, the depth now is enough to keep them afloat here. I mean, they're 6-2 without him this year. So they're certainly not better without him, that's for sure. But they should be able to keep things together enough. I mean, you saw what they were able to do, especially in that fourth quarter yesterday, and Kyrie playing some of the best basketball of his career. Dude, this season he's been outstanding, and he understood, okay, Luka went down. Let me put the team on my back here. Goes on a huge run, and they come up just short. And we'll see where the Mavs can go from here. But it was a struggle bus yesterday. The T-Wolves defense is outstanding. That was obvious and apparent. Their offense has been a nightmare. But Julius Randle, local legend, every time he comes back to Dallas, he finds a way to play his best basketball. And that's what it was yesterday. So we will We will wait for more Luka updates. It's a bummer. We're starting this segment with Lamb being out the rest of the season. We're dealing with the Luka stuff, but we're trying to be happy. We're trying to remain positive.
It's going to be a tough stretch coming up for the Mavs. I know that they head west. They've got Phoenix. They've got Portland on a back-to-back. That's a Friday, Saturday. So that, and then they got to go to Sacramento on the 30th. Sacramento on the 30th. But then it comes home, and it's like, it's the Cavaliers, it's Memphis, then it's the Lakers. And that gets you to January 7th is what that. And I don't think Luke will be back before then.
No.
So can you navigate these games? Can you go to Phoenix? You know, that's going to be probably a tough one to deal with. But you should be able to handle Portland. It's the second night of a back-to-back. We'll see.
They've torn up the Trailblazers this year.
They have.
That's been a favorable matchup
and then,
for the Mavs.
And we'll see with Sacramento how that all plays
out. They're struggling in a huge way.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect to see Luka until February.
Yeah. I forgot, by the way, Houston's in that mix, too. As far as when the teams you have to play. Houston, Memphis.
Going to be a tough stretch.
Lakers, Phoenix. I mean, those are all top eight teams right now as we speak. So, and right now your record is you're 19-11. Are you hoping to be, are you hoping to win half those games? What are you thinking that's going to be? Like 19-11 match. So if you can, if you could just somehow win half those games, you just can't completely fall apart.
No.
You got to find a way to make sure you take care of Portland and make sure you take care of Sacramento. And, but those other games are going to be, without Luka, it's going to be difficult to win.
No doubt, man. No doubt. And Luka's been playing some great basketball since returning from the wrist injury. And so now we'll have to play without him here for a while. Elsewhere around the Christmas Day basketball, Victor Wembanyama, what a monster he was yesterday. He is meeting all expectations in terms of individual dominance. Now we just wait to see if the Spurs can put anything around him and go on some runs here. We don't want to see it, but he is a joy to watch. It's just crazy. He's a true marvel. 42 points, 18 rebounds, 4 blocks. At that size, what he's able to do, just pulling 30-footers. It's unbelievable. But the Spurs continue to lose. But they're
playing 500 basketball. The records. I mean, you kind of worry, but you're thinking like, is how many, they got a little bit better last year with him, still far from where they've been in the past. But the fact that they're kind of like, they're not just going on massive losing streaks, I think says a lot about, about their team. And, they're having to deal with Greg Popovich not even being in the mix.
That doesn't help things.
No, it doesn't all. So this guy is doing a hell of a job of keeping his team afloat and the coaching staff doing a heck of a job of kind of managing things while Pop's gone.
I think the Spurs are really keeping an eye on things in Sacramento with De'Aaron Fox because he's made it known like he doesn't want to re-up with them unless he feels like they're going to be true contenders. Yeah. They had the 1 year a couple of years ago.
They were good.
Fun, but the bottom has fallen out to some extent. And I think the Spurs might be trying to pair, because if you pair De'Aaron Fox with Wemby, now you have the type of young duo that you feel like you can really build around. That would be some scary stuff. But Wemby was out of this world yesterday on Christmas. We'll get to some other stuff. Maybe we crank open an additional rim sesh. If we get the rare double bang out of Mike Breen, we might as well do a rare
double bang here.
Rim sesh here over the course of the next few hours here. G-Bag Nation, we will get back to some basketball. We do have Bobby Corella of All City Dallas talking Mavs with him during the Expressway at 5:20. But coming up next, though, it's time for a Thirsty Thursday edition of Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Heating and Air.
Yeah, I'm going to walk you through there, Chieftain, what we should expect from this Philadelphia Eagle offense. We'll do that next.
I believe you not. I just saw a video of Panthers wide receiver Xavier Leggett bringing in leftover raccoon for lunch in a Tupperware into the locker room. And it seems like media members might have been trying it. And he was pretty proud of that. And I'm proud to tell you that the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus has a Thursday edition of Krusty's Corner ready for you right now, hot and fresh, brought to you by Reliant Heating and Air.
Thank you very much, Chief. Appreciate that. I think the smell was that one of those smells you'll never forget?
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, maybe if the seasonings are enough, but
the fact that, you know, the fact that Jerry just basically was like, he was serious, like, oh yeah, sister and I would, you know, we'd talk about, you know, having the brains.
It's a wild bunch, man.
I tell you, you got to do what you got to do. I bet you his mom prepared it well. Seriously, the thought.
It's an offense to anyone who's ever eaten anything.
Yeah.
But if you had never eaten anything in your entire life.
And then you had squirrel.
You'd probably say, all right.
Oh, wow, this is good.
Is that the Arkansas coming out for Jerry?
There's no question.
That's an Arkansas recipe. If there's like a cookbook for Arkansas yeah. foods, it's there.
Yeah. Squirrels in that mix.
Squirrel, possum. Yeah, I think
deer.
So. Yeah, deer. Yeah, yeah. Duck.
I'm here for the deer. I'm here for the duck.
Duck's another one. I told you that time I had duck and bit into it, and there was still some shot.
Some bullet in there.
Buckshot that I bit down on. Thought I chipped my tooth.
That's tough to come back from.
I spit it into my hand. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done with the duck today.
I don't blame you for that.
Yeah. I've lived in some of the most huntin'est, fishin'est states in the world. Louisiana, Florida.
Huntin'est, fishin'est states in the world.
Yeah. Wisconsin.
They do a lot of that over there.
And I am like a terrible. I'm a good fisherman, terrible hunter.
Yeah, terrible. I've never
gone hunting. If I had to hunt for food, I'd be done.
It'd be a
You're a gatherer. You're not a hunter. Yeah. You're a gatherer.
I'd be like getting sick eating like bad berries and walnuts and stuff like that.
Yeah, you'd be in real, real trouble.
Speaking of real, real trouble, if Jalen Hurts doesn't play in this game, get the Cowboys' run defenses in trouble? I mean, they have played better. The last time they really, really got gashed running the ball was Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have a good showing the other night versus the Buccaneers.
No.
I mean, the Buccaneers ran pretty well on them.
Yeah, but
not enough to win the game. But you're talking about big chunk gains.
Yeah,
because without Jalen Hurts and with the looming record-breaking opportunity for Saquon Barkley, my guess is this is going to be a heavy Saquon game.
I think
get him as close to that record-breaker as possible and see if there's still a chance to break it in Week 18.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I mean, God help us if he breaks it this weekend. He's like 250 yards away.
Yeah.
I think he'll put a serious dent in it.
You think he'll go for a buck 80 against the Cowboys?
I think it's certainly on the table, but what do I know? I thought the Bucs were going to run away with victory the other night.
Yeah. We were both.
You never know how that game, especially with a backup quarterback. I mean, now that's the great equalizer. This game could be.
You think Kellen Moore will try and show us how smart he is by having Kenny Pickett just launch a couple, you know, just throw the ball all over the yard?
It wouldn't totally surprise me, but I think objective number one is to pound the rock with Saquon.
Barkley's got 42 runs of 10 plus yards.
It's been explosive.
How about that? 42 runs of 10 plus yards. You know, Gainwell, the other back, he's got 11 runs of 10 plus. So between them, that's what?
53.
Pretty solid, wouldn't you say?
Very solid.
Think about Barkley. He's going to, just kind of going through my notes. Barkley's going to attack. He's going to be fine or attack all the spots along the defensive line. You know how we sometimes say, Joe Mixon, he's really good running to his left outside. You know, 5.9 yards a carry.
Tendencies.
Yeah, tendencies. This guy doesn't matter.
He can hit you inside and out, left or right.
His best runs come, though, outside left. Everything, though, is well over 5 yards, 6 yards a carry.
Pick your poison.
Yeah, he averages 7.7 yards a carry off that left side. That's over with Jordan Mailata over there.
Giant, giant human being.
Giant human being over there. Where opponents have slowed him down a little bit. Run stuffs, that's a stat that they keep. I was curious. I'm like, I'm watching all these runs he has. I'm like, where are they stopping him? Because it doesn't look like they're stopping him. So I had to look it up. Run stuffs are 0 yards or negative plays.
Mm-hmm.
19 of them outside right. So of all his carries, They've struggled to run the ball a little bit behind. No, I shouldn't say struggle.
But where
Lane Johnson's side,
mm-hmm.
they haven't got the traction that they usually get from Jordan Mailata's side.
Okay.
So Dallas needs to find a way to win. They need to find a way to win on the Jordan Mailata side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to want to hit you, gash you on the left side.
Exactly. And I don't know how much do you want Micah Parsons rushing over there against Jordan Mailata. Because I think it's better for him to rush against Jordan Mailata than it is to rush against Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson gave up 2 pressures last time they played. No sacks. I kind of feel like this Mailata didn't play, but I kind of feel like with how big Mailata is, that there's guys that have run by him. Just speed rush it to the edge, bend that corner, and go.
Yeah, I think obvious passing situations, you would want to put Micah on Mailata. Or maybe in the interior if they have a guy, one of those guards or something, that you could take advantage of.
Yeah, I think this.
But their offensive line's really good.
Yeah, there is good. I'll tell you where I would take advantage of somebody. Went back and looked at the last game. Osa Odighizuwa against Cam Jurgens was a bad matchup for Philadelphia.
Okay.
When he was matched up one-on-one, 4 pass rushes, 2 pressures.
50% pressure rate's pretty strong.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where I think Dallas. I think that with, and this is a game at the last game too, where that Mozzie Smith played pretty well. Mozzie Smith had 5 tackles in the Philadelphia game last time. So if you could find a way, if Mozzie Smith continued to play at a better level that way, I think that maybe that tends to help, you know, with Osa Odighizuwa. And what happened in that game last time around too, Mike Zimmer did a really good job of attacking Philadelphia with the way he mixed his fronts and then the coverages, because it confused. Now, that was Jalen Hurts. You know, they had all the sacks.
And that was overshown as well.
See,
in the mix.
That's what's going to kill you in this game.
Defense was really good in that game versus
damn
the
right
Eagles.
They were.
The offense just couldn't score when they were gifted the ball inside the 5-yard line.
They just could not. That was Cooper Rush's first game back as being a starter.
It was a beating.
And they were awful. They were awful.
The defense did so much to win that game.
It did. It was 7-3 with 2 minutes left in the half, and they create a turnover right inside the 5-yard line and have to kick a field goal. Now, you can't have that. But what they did was that mug look, what we call that mug, where they put both linebackers in the A gaps.
Just crowd the line.
Crowd that line. And it really caused Jalen Hurts a bunch of problems. Dallas in that game pressured him 54% of his dropbacks.
Wow. That's a ridiculous rate.
Yeah. Sacked 5 times, 54% on pressure rate in that thing.
That is domination.
Domination. So what they have to do is, like I say, definitely keep an eye on Osa and Cam Jurgens. I think that's a really, really good matchup. I said two and four. It was 3-10. My bad. 3 pressures on 10 pass rushes.
Okay.
Still 30%.
Yeah, 30% is great.
No overshown. I mentioned that's going to kill you. That's 11 tackles, 2 sacks, 4 pressures. That's going to be huge. Mozzie Smith. In this game last time, Philadelphia went after Carson in this game. So, AO, better than Carson. We'll see. We'll see how that all plays out. But they attacked Carson. They had 5 receptions for 108 yards against him.
A.J. Brown was getting it done.
Yeah. Zimmer, surprisingly, in this game too, Zimmer played zone defense 75% of the snaps in that game, with as much as he tried to rush and stuff like that.
Yeah, so zone blitzing these guys.
Yep.
But now everything without Jalen Hurts, I mean, we criticize Hurts,
it's going to be all run.
Yeah, they're going to load this thing up and just try and hammer you.
Yeah, I agree.
And they'll probably have some pretty good success doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully Eric Kendricks is back, and we'll get to chat with him coming up here within the next 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. Do you think he'll tell us? He's not going to tell us. He's going to tell us he feels good.
We didn't have much of an inclination that he was going to be missing.
He was practicing. I mean, he was on the field warming up, and then all of a sudden he must have
just not been feeling good in those pregame warmups. He was a late scratch.
Very late scratch.
But Nick Vigil stepped up in a nice way.
Sure did.
Maris Leofau had a solid game.
Yeah.
So you get those guys stepping in the right direction. But in terms of containing Saquon in the rushing attack, you're going to want all hands on deck.
You're going to need them all. And Dallas is one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to playing loaded box, by the way.
They bring extra guys to help defend the run, and they still get pushed around.
They still get pushed a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the run defense has definitely gotten better over the course of the last 6 weeks or so, mm-hmm. but you can see in almost every game, and last week in particular with the Bucs.
There's a hint.
This isn't fixed. It's not like they're not steel curtain on this thing. No. There are still some serious holes, but when the game gets out of whack due to, like last week, Cooper Rush and those guys pushing the ball down the field and scoring some points, game plans start to change. But I do imagine Kellen Moore wanting to get Saquon Barkley as close to that record as possible and make sure it's within striking distance for Week 18 versus the Giants. There it is, Krusty's Corner, looking at the Eagles' offense. CeeDee Lamb, the news on him, he's going to be out the rest of the season. Further testing on the shoulder revealed that it has gotten a couple of degrees worse than what it had been over the course of the last 5-6 weeks.
The MRIs every week were getting a little worse. So that's why they did what they did.
So no Lamb for the Cowboys. Likely no Hurts for the Eagles, and just how the NFL drew it up, Rush versus Pickett, or I don't know, Ian Book or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lot Tanner of Saquon McKee. Berkeley. Yeah, Tanner McKee.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious. All right, we'll have the pregame show, by the way. This is going to be a noon kick, so pregame show is going to be Sunday morning, 9 a.m. with me and Broadus. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to the Will Chambers Power Hour starting here in just a couple of minutes. We'll have a college football conversation, then we'll get to Eric Kendricks here at about 4:30 next year in the Nation.